Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Welcome, everybody. Chuck Bonnywell, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, True Straight Up.
And the show is brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. Coming up at 3:30, we're going to have an industry analyst, Kenneth Raposa, come on the show and explain to us all just why this trillion-dollar and growing trade deficit is so awful. But wanted to start off first with two of our favorite people, Ash in America, who writes for a column coming out in the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle, where Chuck is at world headquarters right now. And then Holly at Altitude, two really great grassroots warriors. And as I've been saying, they're being persecuted. Essentially, this is just a lawfare attack against them. And their big crime, well, just trying to do a little bit of election integrity, have that be an issue. So Holly, let's start off with you and explain. So you guys are being sued for your efforts regarding election integrity. Why don't you explain the basis of what the lawsuit is all about?
Okay. Thanks for having us, Chuck and Julie. Appreciate it. So about 2 years ago, Ash, myself, and retired Colonel Sean Smith from the Air Force Colonel that everybody knows here in Colorado, and USCIP, the U.S. Election Integrity Plan, which is a free association of people that Ash and I are considered to be founders. And USCIP's whole mission is to just find the truth, share the truth, and try to fix our elections on the most local level. Now, this is not a top-down organization. We are just a free association of people, and we're 100% volunteer. And we do no fundraising. We raise no money, nothing like that. So the three of us were named as defendants in this lawsuit, as well as USCIP. And the plaintiffs in the lawsuit are the NAACP.
You can tell us who brought the lawsuit.
The plaintiffs in the lawsuit are the NAACP, the League of Women Voters, Mi Familia Vota, and they're backed by a DC-based activist law firm called Free Speech for People, along with other lawyers. So the lawsuit alleges that we have engaged in voter intimidation. And it doesn't sound all that bad until you start reading all of the claims in the case. And I'd like to read just a few of these samples of what they're alleging in the case so that people get an idea of how serious these allegations are. So this comes directly from the pleading. It says USCIP is deploying its agents, who are sometimes armed, to go door to door to intimidate voters. It alleges that we were going door to door and that we asked or accused people of casting allegedly fraudulent ballots. And another quote, in order to threaten voters in their own homes with potentially violent confrontation, USCIP encourages its agents to carry weapons. Another one is USCIP is actively generating and spreading fear that voters can expect multiple armed and unarmed USCIP members to show up at their doors at any moment to harass and interrogate them about their voter history. I have two more. That USCIP is well-funded and that we get paid for our work with USCIP, and that Mike Lindell was a funder. And none of these so far are true. And it especially irritates me that they tried to position us as an organization of something other than what we are.
They make you sound like IRS agents. No, I'm kidding about that, but only partially. Yeah. It's like, okay, so let's go back.
Why don't you describe what your activities were?
Yeah, what you were doing.
Right. So, Ash, why don't you describe what USCIP was doing?
Yeah, it's funny that that Holly is accused of these things because Holly never canvassed. But most of the, you know, grassroots folks in Colorado know about USCIP, know what we were doing with voter verification. It was literally taking the Secretary of State's record and finding out if it was true. So are these the people that live at your house? Did you receive multiple ballots, more than one ballot? Did you vote in person or by mail? Nothing about candidates. We didn't encourage anybody to be armed and go to people's homes.
And this was after the election, right? This was after the election. Okay.
Months after. We started, I think in May is when USCIP, there were other groups in the state that started canvassing earlier than that, but USCIP started, I believe the first folks went out in May.
First of all, I would like to say this is what the Secretary of State's office should have been doing. You were doing their job. You'd think they would. So explain.
Well,
so you would
let me ask a couple of questions. Sure. What is the law that you were alleged to have broken and that allow them to sue you civilly?
Right. Holly, do you want to take that?
Sure. They're charging us. There's three claims in our lawsuit. Two are under the Voting Rights Act of 1965. Which I have it here. It the law says that. Maybe I don't have it written down. Anyway, the VRA is an anti voter intimidation act that was passed after the KKK Act, and we're also being charged for conspiracy. A voter intimidation under the KKK Act. So essentially what the plaintiffs have to prove in our case is that that there's a victim or that a voter was injured, that they were harassed, threatened, or coerced into acting against their will or compelled to do something against their will. Either they were deterred or compelled to do something that inhibits their ability to exercise their free voting rights. And the history of the KKK Act and the VRA has evolved over time, like most laws do. As more case law goes through, it starts defining the laws in a way that gives the courts and more understanding, and lawyers of how to defend or prosecute under this law. And so one of the things that is important to realize is that voting has changed. The term voting in the law has changed from literally filling out your ballot, going to a polling place and putting it into the voting box or the counting box, into voting activity. And so now it's a little bit wider. And what we're seeing is that this lawsuit is trying to do two things. One, it's definitely lawfare, and lawfare is designed to destroy your defendants. It's designed to malign them, ruin their lives, shame them, wreak as much havoc through the court system as possible. But that is only a subset of impact law. And impact law is a term that not a lot of conservatives use or a lot of people know. But impact law is basically using the legal system to create social change or legal change that can't be moved through the legislative system. So this is a way for groups to really define the contours of the law in their favor. And so in this case, what they're really, I think, trying to do, and this is my opinion, is that they're trying to say that anybody who questions the law, engages in auditing activity, citizen-led auditing activity, canvassing, potentially poll watching, Dropbox monitoring, voter challenges, all of that is also voting activity, in my opinion.
And they want to go after that.
Yeah, and I think what they're trying to do is start saying that some voting activity should be protected and some should be made.
So like you talk about stuffing the ballot box illegally, that kind of voting activity is fine, right? But trying to make sure that's a protected category, right? But trying to make sure that people are legally voting, that's not fine, apparently.
Why,
right?
Why do these organizations get to bring lawsuits that would normally thought to be the rights of the voters themselves bringing a lawsuit?
Right. That goes back to the history of the KKK Act and the Voting Rights Act of 1965. Basically, it, under these two laws, it now allows for private organizations to sue private individuals in civil lawsuits. The government can still bring these lawsuits, or the state can, but those are criminal charges. And so our lawsuit is between private parties, so it is a civil suit.
How do they get damages based on that? The civil suit asking for damages or asking for injunctive relief or something? How do they say, well, we've been damaged and therefore the defendants owe us X amount of money?
Right. In our case, the damage claim from the plaintiffs was that 20% of each of the organizations, the NAACP, League of Women Voters, and Mi Familia Vota, diverted 20% of their budget or resources. To fighting and combating USCIP activity in Colorado.
Oh, wow. And they want you to give them that money.
Well, so this has evolved a bit as the lawsuit was filed in March of 2022. And so it's been going on for almost 2 years. And originally they asserted in, signed sworn affidavits under pain and penalty of perjury that they had members that were intimidated and that they had exerted, 20% of their resources to having to counteract our, misinformation and disinformation and intimidating activities. They were also asking for injunctive relief, Chuck. As you said, they asked for a temporary restraining order against our activities. The early judge in the case denied it, said this is all hearsay. It's based on newspaper articles. You can't, ask for somebody to stop engaging in their civil rights, right? To be based on hearsay. And when that ruling came down from the judge, they withdrew their request for a TRO. They kept their damages in the months and months since. They've really withdrawn every aspect of their claims. They've withdrawn, except they're still asking for us to be, stopped.
Let me ask
you.
Oh, okay. Who are your lawyers defending you?
We have two Colorado criminal defense lawyers, and on the other side of the case, there are a dozen lawyers.
Okay, twelve. They have 12 lawyers across a couple different law firms. Yeah.
And Ash, I want you to explain. Wait, Chuck, let me just do this so people can understand what they were doing. Because I think that's one more. You get one more.
Have you brought any counterclaims?
We have. And as you know, Chuck, you're a lawyer, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So during these legal proceedings, there's a cadence and methodology for how a court case works its way through the legal system. And so there are dates and times that punctuate when you can and can't do certain things within your case. And so very early on, before we even knew really what the case was all about, because the case was filed with no evidence whatsoever, which is legal. You can do that. Yeah. It's not recommended. Lawyers will tell you, that's not the best idea, but you can do it. So we had this mechanism. There was a date in our proceedings where that was our opportunity to file counterclaims.
Right.
And did that. And those sat unadjudicated for quite a while. Then we had a judge change in our lawsuit. We first had Chief Justice Brimmer from the 10th Circuit of the Denver court. And then a new appointee, a new Biden appointee judge from Boulder, Judge Charlotte Sweeney, joined the 10th Circuit, and our case got moved over to Judge Sweeney's docket. And so I believe, Ash, you can check me on this. I believe that was her first ruling, is to throw out our counterclaims.
Of course, of course. That's well, right. Ash, I want to have you explain.
Has been too lately filed or being not
checking up all your questions.
Well, I know, but let's just legal stuff get out of the way. Did she dismiss it because it was non-merit? It had no basis, or you didn't file it at a proper time, or?
We did file it on time. I can't remember why she denied the claims.
Because you're concerned.
I agree with you. And in my opinion, that is true, Julie. But yeah. It was based on the type of motions that the claims were brought. It was like, this isn't a 12 something B, you know, I'm not a lawyer. So it was very legally technical as to why she dismissed the claims. Okay. And Chuck, I'm happy to send it to you and you can check it out.
Well, they can, Ash, what I want you to do is explain to people. So they're accusing you essentially of like being like the KKK and violating all these minority people's rights and intimidating them, armed, showing up there at doors. Even though, Holly, you weren't actually doing any canvassing. Ash, why don't you explain, were you guys showing up there in tanks then with an FBI SWAT raid team, or what were you actually doing?
We were walking in pairs. So we had two people go ahead, Holly. I can tell you when I say something.
I was just going to say, Ash, just to tee it up, going back to before you go into this, because you definitely know how this worked a lot more than I did since I never canvassed. But USCIP, basically, it was volunteers deciding that they wanted to canvass their own local areas. And so it was completely organized by volunteers on the ground. And the design of the canvassing was, as Ash said, it was literally to confirm the publicly available Secretary of State's voter roll information. And so there, as Ash said, there were only three or four questions on there that we asked just to confirm that the publicly available data. And so, Ash, you can go into more about how all of that worked.
Yeah. So, yeah, what were you actually doing?
So we went out in pairs. And as Holly said, it varied a little bit depending on which county the canvassing was occurring in, because each county, you know, the people in that county were canvassing their own neighborhoods. And so it looked a little bit differently, but, you know, very professional. There was, you know, we wanted people to be in pairs so that there wasn't, you know, anything that there wasn't a witness to. Right. And we, as far as we knew, there were no complaints. We were certainly never told about any complaints or any, you know, anything resulting from our efforts. But it was literally, as I just said, just taking the Secretary of State's record and confirming whether or not it was true. And what's interesting is that we found, you know, a significant portion of the time it wasn't true.
Well, that was the whole problem. But let me back you up. So what did you do? So you would just go and you would knock on the door. You'd say, hey, I'm Ash. And walk me through what you would do so people can see that this was what exactly was going on.
Sure. Hi, I'm Ash. I'm a resident of Douglas. I live in Douglas County. So, you know, I'm one of your neighbors here in Douglas County, and we're just checking that the record of the election that occurred on 2020 is accurate. You know, the Secretary of State says that there's seven voters registered here. Is that accurate? Oh, well, no, there's only two of us. Oh, okay. And are two of them, you know, so-and-so, and we'll show them the
list.
The record of the record of the state says that you voted, you know, in person on election day, or it says that you returned your ballot by mail. And it was very, you know, kind of clinical in that sense, clicking up and then, you know, thank you so much for your time. That's it.
There you go. I mean, first so I imagine if people didn't answer the door, you didn't pound on the door, right? Or if people said, I don't want to answer your question, you just said, which happens sometimes, right?
Yep. Yeah, no, absolutely. If people didn't want to talk to us, they didn't, we would leave. Okay. Thank you so much for your time. And, you know, we would leave. There was never any sort of that I saw or that I was told of from, you know, other people's efforts. There were never any issues or altercations that occurred as a result of this. This lawsuit came as a huge shock, especially, you know, it came several months. We finished up canvassing in September of 2021. The lawsuit was brought in March of 2022, long after we were done.
So what did you find just in general? How accurate was the Secretary of State's list? Because I think this is probably what they really don't want people to know about.
That's right.
Right. Well, the part of the canvassing that I found interesting was that we had a number of volunteers who do this kind of work in their professional lives. You know, they're professional analysts, mathematicians, statisticians, corporate trainers. They're academics, they do surveys, all this kind of stuff. And the original study design was to ensure that we could remove any bias out of the data, and then make sure that we had a large enough sample that it would be meaningful. And then, you know, from a statistical standpoint, now we didn't know at the beginning how many counties would be canvassing, who wanted to do it, anything right. like that. But we had our fingers crossed that if we had a large enough sample from a number of counties and we were able to take all of that information and analyze it, we would be able to deliver a formal report about our findings. And it was interesting. It was an interesting confluence of the timeline because we were working, the volunteers who were working on the canvassing report, as Ash said, started way back in the fall. You know, once canvassing was over, they started their work on the analysis and preparing the report. And so that took months. And those folks kind of put a calendar on the date, let's publish early after the holidays in 2022. Let's have our report done, you know. No hard date, but the lawsuit was filed on March 9th, 2022, and our canvassing report was published March 10th, 2022.
Okay. And Julie, you asked what we found, and we did publish the report. It's on USCIP.org. We also did a video going through our findings as a result. And really what we found was 8 to 11% of the data was anomalous in some way. Either there were, you know, people at those addresses that did not live there. Many times there were votes cast from that address from people that don't live there. One of my favorite, the very first door they knocked on in El Paso County was a family of it was three voters listed on the you know, Secretary of State's, and the woman answered the door. So yeah, me and my husband voted. And what about this person? Oh, that's my son. He's in Hawaii. He's deployed to Hawaii. Well, do you know if he voted in Colorado? I don't know. Let's call him. They called him. He absolutely did not vote from Colorado, but the Secretary of State's data reported that he did. Things like that. Other times, you know, for me, the first anomaly that I found when I was canvassing was two people in their 80s registered to vote cast ballots from a storage unit.
There you go.
So yeah. So we found people that were registered to vote at Arby's. Lots of people registered to vote at official government buildings. Now in Colorado, these things aren't illegal, but one of the reasons that, you know, the kid that it said he voted and he absolutely didn't vote, that's illegal. That's identity theft.
Right. Somebody voted for him. Right.
Right. But, you know, voting from, you know, being registered to vote at Arby's or at a hotel, our laws are so relaxed that that's not illegal, but those laws have been relaxed under the, you know, the guise that these things are very rare. Right.
Right.
And the reality is nobody checks.
Right.
And so we checked and, you know, as a result, we're getting sued.
So when is it set for trial?
It's February. I don't know the exact date. It's February, right?
February 5th, 2024.
What about then, Ash, you guys wanted to talk too about, because, and I think this is true. I think, because I know, I remember he was running for Secretary of State. Mike, Anyway, he was a candidate there, and he did a great job. Mike O'Donnell, I think. And he did a good job of going through some of the data, and he was doing this exact same thing. This is the exact same kind of thing I would have done if we were a reporter and we wanted to do that, right? All the time, you go knocking a door, you'd say, hi, I'm so-and-so. And no one accused me of violating anybody's rights. I think that this is aimed, and correct me if I'm wrong, or you guys disagree, but this is aimed, it's the same thing as that FBI SWAT raid against that January 6th guy. They want to show anyone who wants to say, hey, do we have actual accurate information, accurate data? They just want to shut you down. They want to intimidate you, destroy your life. So not only are you shut down, but anyone else who might be thinking about doing this is also shut down, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would say I think it's a little bit bigger than that. I think it's the First Amendment is under attack in the state of Colorado. Our you know, crimes here is really our ideology. It's the fact that we're conservative. It's the fact that, you know, but USCIP was a completely nonpartisan entity. We got a lot of flack for that, right? You know, the Republicans wanted us to be Republican, and we took great steps to stay independent and nonpartisan, and really to, you know, engage specifically around elections and to find the truth, expose the truth, and restore election integrity. And so the freedom of assembly, the freedom of speech, it's under attack in the state. And I think that my opinion on this, of course, it's my opinion, is that we're being retaliated against. Yes. For our efforts, for what we've done. I mean, I think when, you know, looking at what happened, I know I came on your show, I don't know if it was last week or the week
last
before.
Week.
Last week, talking about President Trump's trial and, you know, calling out my name in the middle of the trial as though I was a random person on the internet streaming the trial illegally in violation of the court order. Well, my name wasn't on there. I was on Badlands. The logo was on the stream. I was on the Badlands channel. And my name, as I said, my name's nowhere near there, right? But Eric Olson knows my name. Jenna Griswold knows my name. The people associated with them know my name. And so that felt very retaliatory. The day after that happened, they mentioned USCIP in questioning. It is very intimidating. This has been, you know, we haven't spoken about this case up until this point, because how do you take on the entire media machine? There were tens of thousands of articles written about us within the first 24 hours of us, you know, hearing that we were being sued. We weren't served with a lawsuit until, I think it was 10 days for me, a couple weeks later for Holly, but it went out into the press that day. And how do you combat that?
Right.
As just, we're just citizens. We're just individual citizens that are, you know, engaging from a USCIP standpoint.
So the media thing. Have you engaged in discovery on their side?
Yeah, it's all over. It's all over.
And what did you find was the basis for their charges and the individuals and for the allegations? What proof they have for those allegations?
They're baseless.
None.
Baseless. Yeah.
They just made them. Well, that's lawfare, right? Yeah. The point is not to actually win in a court of law. I mean, that's icing on the cake. But the point of lawfare is to do what you said, to shut down the First Amendment, to attack and intimidate and destroy anyone if you disagree with their ideology.
And so really to make an example, example of us so that other people don't get this crazy idea that they can exercise their rights too.
Right.
Have you filed motions for summary judgment based on the?
Yep, we have a GoFundMe page. GoSendGo page. It's called the Ash Legal Defense at Ash, Sean, and Holly. That's how I named it.
Ash without an E.
ASH, Legal Defense. And in there is a link to all of the court filings. So if to answer your questions, Chuck, we have gone through every single step of the process and fought every single way you can. I mean, using the law with motion for summary judgment, motion to dismiss. We've challenged their
everything.
The expert witness. I mean, it's been 2 years almost of, you know, going through this step by step and following the law and using, you know, the arguments available to us and the mechanisms available to us.
And guys, I hate to do this because we've got a guest coming up at 3:30, because we'll have to have you back and can continue on this, because I know, Chuck, you have a ton of legal questions too. My final question then, one more time, because you guys are having to pay for this, how can people help?
It's givesendgo.com/ASH Legal Defense Fund. And 100% of that goes to fighting this. I think, Julie, to the point that you are making, the process is the punishment. They want to make an example of us. But the thing is, I don't think they ever expected that we were going to fight back. And we are going to fight back. We're going to trial. We're not, because it's not just us. Like I said, it's the First Amendment. It is the protected activities that we have to engage in civics. And that's under attack in the state of Colorado right now. It's a federal lawsuit, but they're trying it out here. There's people canvassing and doing similar activities right all over the country. And we're not going to let them, we're not going to let them get away with it. So we are fighting.
Do you have a jury anybody trial? That
Well, because we filed for a jury trial that was granted, but somewhat recently the plaintiffs withdrew their claim of damages. Yeah, and so that was a mechanism to deny us the ability to have a jury trial. Now it's a bench trial.
I don't
hey, Chuck, listen, I hate to do this. We do have to cut this off.
One last question.
Okay.
If they're not asking, if they lost injunction and they've not asking for damages, what are they asking for?
Injunctive relief.
Oh, but I thought that already got
they're asking for the legal precedent.
That was in the TRO.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, listen, we're going to have to come back and go over this again, too, because we've got the guest
on
hold.
Asking the legal questions that Julie doesn't like.
Oh, wait. Hang on. Thomas just said he tried Kenneth Raposo, but got his answering machine. Okay, hey, Thomas, try again. So we don't have to go. Just let me know when we get him. So we can, Chuck, you can ask away your legal questions.
Okay, so
if I could just mention something that hasn't been brought up yet, the same groups that are suing us, Mi Familia Vota, specifically Mi Familia Vota and Free Speech for People, they were the ones initiating the legal action against Trump to keep him off of the ballot. Now, I'm not sure.
In Colorado.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they ended up as plaintiffs.
They're not.
In the case, no, but they were the ones originally stirring the pot to get this work going.
Well, and they're not paying for it, right? I mean, I'm sure it's something like Crew, whatever the group is, it's paying for the Trump lawsuit. There's somebody else giving them money. And Ash, I think you're right. They're trying to, I mean, in Colorado, what do, right? You have the Secretary of State's office won't do its own auditing or canvassing. They pull out of any intrastate agreement to do any kind of auditing or canvassing. The legislature denied having any auditing or canvassing. So if you want anyone to do it, the only people who can do it are citizens. And so if they can turn around and say, if you, Joe Citizen or Ash or Holly Citizen, try to ask somebody a question about the election, all of a sudden, now you're going to be filed with this horrific sounding lawsuit with all of, like you said, they have 12 lawyers, you have two, right? And it's just,
let me ask you another question. The TRO was denied, right? Temporary injunction was denied.
Yes.
And I assume one of the reasons was that they were unlikely to prevail on the merits. That's usually in a denial.
The reason for the TRO, so it was the temporary restraining order against canvassing. Now, I personally, in my opinion, think they didn't want us to canvass the primary, the 2022 primary. And so that's why there was a TRO filed for that. The judge denied that because it was all hearsay. There was no evidence presented to support that. But they are looking for the injunctive relief. They're looking for the precedent. They want the legal precedent that what we were doing is wrong and it can't be done. Right.
Was it Bremer who refused the TRO?
Yes.
Oh, okay, because normally it's considered impossible to lose the TRO, to win the TRO, you know, rule against the TRO, but grant the injunction. But I guess now you got a different judge, different deal.
A different judge. That's right. That's right. And then, as Holly said, the first thing that this judge did was throw out our counter claims. And then, you know, as it's gone on, there's been no, it's still hearsay, right? It's still very much the same circumstances, because through the discovery process, their case hasn't gotten better.
It's, right.
It's gotten much worse, and it's lawfare, and the process is the punishment.
Ash, and you're probably right. They want to use it to set a precedent. So then anyone else who wants to set up something like this, and Mike Lindell and any of the efforts he's trying to do, they want to just say you can't do it. And the reason they do is because they don't want people to see what they're actually doing. That would be my opinion there, too.
Yeah, but so, safest and most secure elections in history. It's legal. And so they certainly probably would have dropped the entire case if you hadn't got a different judge. Brenner seems to like dropping cases. I've had a case with him. We had a case with him on the open primary and all that, and he dropped out, and we got a Carter appointee.
But, you know, here's the thing, though, too, guys. Chuck, they could still drop out at any time, right? Like, as you said, they probably wanted to prevent you from canvassing in 2022. If they can draw this out, I mean, I assume you guys and everybody else is kind of waiting to see what happens. And so they can keep you from doing this in time for the 2024 election. I mean, once they get in, they'll be like, okay, we withdraw it, right? And so then there won't be
a ruling. Then they'd probably be liable for legal fees for failing to... You know, drop out far earlier, but who knows when you got when you got a Biden judge, who the hell knows?
Exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, I said to you guys on a previous show when we were talking about it, one of my columns, I discovered recently that you can say anything that you want about anybody as long as you put it in a lawsuit. That's what's really damaging about this is that the legal immunity or whatever it's called that they have privilege. Yeah. They put their baseless allegations, their, you know, very malicious allegations into a lawsuit so they can go out there and say them over and over and over again. But what I want to know, and I'm not a lawyer, but I want to believe in the court system, even in Colorado, you know, where this is the legal system where Jack Phillips has been fighting for 11 years. Right. But I want to believe in the legal system. How can you say those things under pain and penalty of perjury and continue to sign your name, that these things are true, and then later on withdraw them because they're not true? Right. It's very frustrating having gone through this process as, you know, it's been an incredible amount of personal cost that Sean and Holly and I have borne out of this. And now, you know, we just want people to know, and we're going to fight it to the end. We're not going to allow this because where's the line otherwise? Right.
Well, there are some legal remedies, you know, for malicious prosecution or falsely bringing a suit, but that's a whole nother lawsuit.
Right. Then you have to go there. Hey, listen, we will let you guys go then. Thank you so much. Chuck, any more legal questions?
I got tons, but it's been great.
All right, guys, thank you so much. Please stay in touch with us on this and update us as stuff goes on because people need to know this is going on and what they're doing to you guys is just wrong.
Yeah. Thanks, guys, so much.
All right. Thank you.
Support.
All right. Thank you. Ash Epp. Ash in America and Holly at Altitude and Chuck, we don't have Ken. Thomas, let us know if we do. So there, your legal questions are all good. I was trying to cut you off. I was trying to censor your First Amendment right to ask questions. you look at all the things that are going on in this country and the way that they use lawfare. And we've talked about this before. They have Project 65, and I'm sure they're involved in this somewhere, right? It's a whole way of manipulating and weaponizing the law and the justice system. I mean, look what they've done to Trump, right? To go after people. And then what they do is they go after any lawyers who try to help those people.
Well, so, the real problem is there's no contrary effort. There is no lawfare on behalf of Republicans. No. Because this is just going to continue on when you say, well, you know, let's assume they don't get their preliminary injunction. You know, it's great. We've done what we wanted to do, and they're happy with it, unless Republicans and DAs and others start bringing lawsuits. And of course, it's all deep pocket stuff. And you have all these, you know, Swiss billionaires and others who freely can give to lawsuit efforts. They can't contribute to a campaign, at least directly, but they go, hey, we can use your money in all kinds of things.
Right. Well, and you would think ideally, I mean, this is my, you know, in an ideal world, in a correct world, the Secretary of State's office, rather than jumping on board and being witnesses in a awful, frivolous, outrageous lawsuit like this, would say, hey, guys, look at the information they got. Maybe we should go out there and do some of this ourselves, right? Maybe our voter rolls aren't as gold standard-ish as people would like us to believe. But instead, they shut it down and say, I mean, we've seen that over and over again. Look what they've done to Mike Lindell, right? And Tina Peters.
Look at what they're doing to the mayor of New York, because he was criticizing Biden. It's pretty amazing, to tell you the truth.
Okay, a couple other things I wanted to talk about. And this is what's going on. These are kind of minor points.
You should have left Holly and Ash on.
They have stuff to do. I wanted to see did people hear about this? This is insane. So the story is coming out. At first, it was a confusing story talking about Secret Service agents shooting at carjackers, right? I'm like, why would Secret Service people be shooting at carjackers? This is in Washington, D.C. Well, it turns out, so it was a Secret Service vehicle that Joe Biden's granddaughter, his adult granddaughter, was in with Secret Service protection, right? And three criminals tried to carjack the Secret Service people.
Well, you got to give them credit for that. There are some gutsy guys.
They are. And so then it gets even worse. So the Secret Service shoots at them, which you actually, I don't think you can do necessarily, and misses somehow. And then the carjackers all get away. So this is what's going on in our country, right? And this is why they don't want us asking questions and they don't want us doing anything. So the Secret Service vehicle now you'd think the president might be like, guys, maybe we need to get on this whole crime issue that we have going on here. My granddaughter. And I don't even know which is the worst part, right? So they're driving along in the Secret Service vehicle. Boom, three carjackers jump in. Now, you'd think the Secret Service would have the doors locked or something. I don't even understand how this could happen. But then the Secret Service shoots at them. And so I got to wonder, where did the Secret Service bullets go, right? I mean, and then the carjackers run away and they can't catch us. So we got you would assume the Secret Service and the Washington police, all these people would like respond to this quickly, and somehow these carjackers are now gone, right? Now, you'd also think in Washington, D.C., this is on camera somewhere, so hopefully we'll see this, but that's just how ridiculous it is.
No, they're busy rounding up some more January 6th defendants, and they're busy people.
Exactly. They don't have time. The FBI told the Secret Service, guys, we have at least two grandmothers whose homes we're planning a raid for right now, because they were not actually in the Capitol, but we think that they were in Washington, D.C. on that time. And these are dangerous terrorists. We don't have time to waste with your stupid carjackers trying to carjack the president's granddaughter, you know. And by the way, we're going to take your guns away if you aren't more careful with them, too. It's just like insane. Another insanity, which is why the Democrats, I saw this. Actually, it was a good story. The Denver Gazette did this. I think it was the Denver Gazette on why a hamburger in Denver now costs $16, right? And they kind of broke it down. But in a typical kind of lefty-ish fashion, they kind of avoided the real issue. One of the biggest things is the restaurants said they had to raise the price. Okay, the price of hamburger went up, buns went up, fuel, everything went up. But in the past few years, their labor costs have gone up 54%. Right. Now that's huge. And they're going to go up again, because the 1st of January, the minimum wage in Denver goes up again, 5.6% to $14.42 an hour. Now, as a result of this, what do people say? Like, hooray, you know, thank you for taking care of, you know, minimum wage workers. No, the restaurant, what's going to happen is the restaurant say they're going to raise prices again. Right. So more people can't afford hamburgers. And so your $16 hamburger now is going to end up costing $18. And even more, they're going to fire and lay off and cut the hours of the people that are working for them. So this minimum wage, and you've heard this too, right? You've talked about this for years, and you know, people who own businesses who say, you keep raising the minimum wage, people are not going to be making more money. More people are going to be making less money, because we're going to get rid of them. And then you still aren't going to have any money to get a hamburger, right?
Right, right. Well, soon there'll be a horn and hard art. You know, you'll just drive up, the machine will hand you a hamburger, the machine will take your money.
And there you go. Yeah. And if you're like Rev and you try to order a hamburger without all the stuff on it, you're just out of luck there, yeah, right? Yeah, and then Leo says, I make better hamburgers for $2 each. It's hard to have hamburger is expensive these days on top of everything. Then another couple of other things too. Again, showing the insanity. of we were talking with some people today, and we won't name names, but who are not impressed with the new Denver Mayor Johnson's homeless thing, where he wants to give every homeless person like and a little house.
These were kind of committed Democrats.
Right, who are like, this is insane. And here's why. And Chuck, you can talk about Ed Thomas, our former police officer friend. So in L.A., I-10 is closed in downtown L.A. because they had this massive, and I mean by massive, a massive homeless encampment there. And somehow a fire started in it. And it was such a hot fire that it melted essentially the bridge. Now, you would say to yourself, were these, what could have been in this homeless encampment that would cause a fire so hot that it would melt the bridge? But Ed Thomas used to tell us under Spear Boulevard, right along that Spear Boulevard where it goes through downtown through Cherry Creek. They're
propane tanks.
Yeah.
Most of them are propane tanks.
Ed used to tell us that he would warn people about that, right?
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, well, there you go. But that's another thing too, these encamps. So, you know, Mike Johnson, I think, is going to have a hard time because he keeps changing his plan with the city council. And one other thing then, Chuck, too, Nikki Haley, your favorite, this is interesting, yeah. I think, is taking out a $10 million ad buy against Ron DeSantis. I think, what do you think? This Chris Christie, meanwhile, is in Israel, so probably there'll be peace any day now. But Nikki Haley is starting a $10 million ad.
Well, good. Party. You know, where? In Iowa or New Hampshire?
Yeah, I think against DeSantis. Against DeSantis.
Good. Have fun, Nikki. I mean, you know, you're already, everybody does view you as Dick Cheney with 3-inch heels or 5-inch heels, whatever you prefer. Taking ad buys out against Ron DeSantis. Why bother? I mean, he's just a dead fish.
Well, and I mean, that's the thing. Because, you know, you've done campaigns.
It's not a $10 million buy against Trump.
No, $10 million buy against DeSantis. Right.
And I wonder who gave her the money for that.
Apparently a bunch of people, according to it was a political article talking about, a bunch of people. But I mean, it's establishment types, obviously. But why do they like Nikki Haley better than Ron DeSantis? Just because she's a warmonger?
Yeah. She's, you know, Raytheon, and she was on the board of Boeing. And then there was a kind of a joke given where they kind of go, you know, Nikki, is there any country that you don't want to invade? And Nikki going, why wouldn't I want to invade them? I can't believe you're saying that.
Is that a trick question? Is there a country
that
would want to invade?
You're right.
No, but that seems like a trick question. Well, and then finally, before I let people go, this too, because we did a show on it. Remember, we talked to, I forget who we talked to, but it was an international, maybe it was Robert Spencer, talking about the Nord Stream pipeline. Remember, guys, when it blew up and how that all kind of went away? Well, now the Washington Post is confirming that it was Zelensky's Ukraine.
The guy who was in charge of the whole thing hadn't been in the army for 8 months and was under investigation for this and that. So, you know, it said, you know, the conservative treehouse and elsewhere, you know, Washington Post, CIA, New York Times, FBI, Politico, State Department. I mean, so this is an official CIA disinformation that everybody was laughing about. I mean, kind of like, come on.
And according to the Washington Post, the CIA knew about it ahead of time and said, according to the Washington Post, hey, we don't think that's a great idea.
Yeah, that CIA would, yeah.
So the CIA knew he was planning it and then turned around and lied about it. And I think they tried to blame Trump for it at some level, didn't they?
They tried to blame anti-Putin forces in Russia, Ukrainians. Right. Everything else but the CIA and the U.S. Navy. So, I mean, it's a pathetic effort. I mean, the Washington Post is just disgrace. I don't think they can disgrace themselves.
Well, they
anymore.
Did say that they don't think Zelensky knew about it that much.
Yeah, that's right. They asked him. He said, no, I didn't know.
Because the CIA forgot to tell them when they were doing that Vogue cover, you know, Vogue magazine cover. They forgot to bring that up. So it's just, but guys, don't give up hope, right? You look at this and all you can do sometimes is laugh, right? And then keep fighting like Ash and Holly and what we're doing here and what all of you guys are doing there. And I think one of the reasons they're getting so desperate is I think the tide is turning. And I think it is all making a difference. So I feel like the conservative treehouse. So don't give up hope. Go out there, live your best lives. And we'll be back
fighting by law firm.
Yeah, and then get sued. No, I'm kidding. Oh, well, I'm not kidding, actually. Hey, well, that will wrap it up for us. We got a lot of stuff coming up on Wednesday. Lori Sane is going to come on and talk about this outrageous situation with Weld County commissioners are trying to kind of push through their own kind of bait and switch proposition HH up in Weld County. And Lori and some others up there were able to kind of push it down. So she'll talk about that. And then on Friday, we're going to have somebody from the John Birch Society. Earlier, we had a guy on who was speaking in favor of the Convention of States for constitutional amendments. These guys are opposed to it. So we'll kind of present.
John Birchers?
Yeah. Huh?
Mm-hmm. All right. Perfect. This should be fun.
Okay. Yeah, it should be. And I told them, Chuck, I gave him forewarning. I said, just so you know, Chuck, the Chuck portion of the Chuck and Julie show is in favor of the Convention of States. They said,
well,
same thing.
I could be convinced otherwise. I think the person we had on before was convincing, and not that it doesn't have problems. I think it does. So it's not that I'm adamantly against it.
You're not like me watwatching a football game where I switch my side depending on
who's... Five times in the last 5 minutes, yeah.
All right. Hey, that will do it for us. Thank you so much to Ash and Holly and Thomas and everybody on Zoom. Remember, you can catch all our shows at chuckandjulie.com. Chuck, get back to work putting out the world award-winning Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle.
Right.
And we will see everybody on Wednesday.
Take care.